Welcome back to Faded Tales. This is Zoya, and I hope you're doing well. Last week, I was not here because I forgot. I slipped my mind, to be honest. I have so much work in this university. Anyway, I want to tell you guys that there are animals we mythologize because they are beautiful. Others because they're useful, and then they're the ones we mythologize because they make us uncomfortable, because they remind us that the world was never built for us in the first place. Now today's story is about one of these creatures. It doesn't sing, it doesn't soar, it doesn't even bow to human attention. It watches. This is Faded Tales. As you guys know, it's a podcast where we tell, if for those new here, it's a podcast where we tell little stories tell about the animals whose stories have been softened, distorted, or erased by time. Creatures we remember incorrectly, or not at all. Now, today we're talking about the cassowary, and I hope you guys enjoy. Sit back, relax, grab a nice warm cup of cocoa, coffee, or chai. Or tea. I prefer cocoa or chai myself. But anyway, sit back, relax, listen to this while I speak and while you do guys work. Anyway, let's go. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Faded Tales. Sorry, the mic was away. How are you guys? It's been so long since I've actually talked to you guys. Oh my god, fourth year is the busiest year ever, man. I wanted to make this podcast special for you guys by doing it every day, but I can't. It's so much. I have to record another podcast for school after this. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah. But I always make time for the animals. I always make time for the animals. They're my favorites. Anyway, today's the cassowary. If you never even seen a cassowary before, your brain might struggle to place it. It's prehistoric. It looks prehistoric because it is. Oh boy. It's a bird taller than most humans. Its feathers are jet black that resemble like coarse hair. And its electric blue skin stretched across a powerful neck and has a red waddle hanging off like a torn silk. And it's on its head a hard helmet like cassock rising like a crown or something like that. It doesn't look friendly, I can tell you enough. It doesn't look delicate, and it certainly doesn't look like something you'd expect to find quietly walking through a rainforest eating fallen fruit. Cassowaries live in the rainforest of Northern Australia and Papua New Guinea, and nearby islands too. There are three species, but the most famous and infamous is the southern cassowary. It can weigh over 60 kilograms, can run faster than a human, it can jump over fences, it can swim rivers, and even each foot carries a dagger-like claw sharp enough to disembowel. But despite the headlines, despite the warnings, despite the fear, cassowaries aren't monsters. They're survivors in my eyes. Before I get into like the time of the cassowaries, I want to play the cassowary noise for you guys. I think I can play it here. I don't know how loud it is, to be honest, because I forgot to check. Yeah. Yeah, you can see it sounds very growl, like very like prehistoric, like anyone would like think. So yeah, like let me explain the ancient lineage of the cassowaries. They belong to one called ratites, large flightless ratites or ratites. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but anyway, they're large flightless birds that include ostriches, emus, rias, and kiwis. Yeah, these are all like big flightless birds. These birds evolved long before humans ever walked upright. Cassowaries' ancestors lived alongside dinosaurs. When you look at one, you're not just seeing a bird, you're seeing deep time made flesh. Its feathers don't have the interlocking barbs needed for flight. Instead, they hang loose, absorbing rain, protecting against thorns, insulating the body in dense forest. Its wings are reduced to stubs, tipped with small claws, remnant of something once useful. The cassock on its head. Scientists still debate on this purpose. Some believe it helps push through the thick vegetation. Others think it acts as a resonator, amplifying low-frequency sounds through the forest. There's even evidence it might regulate heat. But to indigenous culture, I would say, the cassock is not a mystery. It's a sign of age, power, and presence. This is all based on research from what I got. So... Next is the indigenous knowledge and kinship from what I have on here. I might be wrong, to be honest, because I have so much to do and I kind of want your time, but I trust myself more than anything. But if I'm wrong, guys can let me know. But I just want to give you guys some peace and quiet. Anyway, long before European naturalists tried to classify the cassowary, indigenous people of Australia and Papua New Guinea already understood it. In many cultures, cassowary is not just an animal, it's a relative, a teacher, and sometimes an ancestor. There are dreaming stories where cassowaries create rivers with their footsteps or where their cassock holds stone fire. Some groups tell stories of cassowaries as transformed humans, punished or protected, depending on the telling. Cassowary feathers are used in ceremonial dress, their bones once shaped into tools, their eggs, huge, green, and heavy, carefully harvested. But there's a key difference. They were never hunted carelessly. Indigenous knowledge emphasized respect, distance, and balance. The cassowary was powerful, yes, but not evil. Dangerous, yes, but not to be provoked. This relationship was disrupted the moment Europeans arrived. Yeah, Europeans ruined everything, even in animals. It's kind of common. I'm learning about the settlers. I'm sorry, I'm multitasking. I'm learning about like the settlers in class right now. Oh, and oh my god, the settlers ruin everything. Oh my god. I was just looking up like the art, indigenous art that I want in this look quite a bit. It's kind of pretty. I find it. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, European settlers. The ones I don't like. They did not know how to read the rainforest. They moved loudly and they cleared land aggressively. They bought livestock, fences, roads. And suddenly a bird that spent millions of years navigating fruiting trees and forest paths found itself face to face with humans that did not understand it. Cassowaries don't flee like deer. They don't warn like snakes. They stand their ground. To the settlers, that looked like aggression. Stories spread quickly. Killer bird, dinosaur monster, savage. By the early 20th century, cassowaries were being shot, poisoned, and trapped, not for food, but out of fear. Ironically, most cassowary attacks occurred when humans fed them. A cassowary that associates humans with food becomes bold. A bold cassowary becomes unpredictable. And when an animal weighing more than a person feels frightened, it reacts. You probably heard the phrase, the cassowary is the world's most dangerous bird. Technically, maybe, but context matters, you guys. There was one documented human death attributed directly to a wild cassowary in modern history, compared to that to cows, horses, and dogs. Danger in this case is less about intent and more about anatomy. Cassowaries don't hunt humans. They don't stalk. They don't attack for sport. And when they attack, it's usually because they feel cornered, there are chicks nearby, they're being fed and expect food, or humans approach too closely. Fear sells better than nuance, in a sense. Anyway, here's what really makes headlines. Cassowaries are keystone species. This is the one word that I always say in every podcast. Keystone species. Sorry, I'm trying something new. I'm just trying to be fun. Anyway, keystone species. The cassowaries, they eat over 150 species of fruit, swallowing them whole. Some of these fruits are so large that no other animal can disperse the seeds. Cassowary doesn't digest the seeds. It carries them for kilometers, disposing them in nutrient-rich droppings deep in the forest. Without the cassowaries, certain rainforest trees cannot reproduce. No cassowary means less forest diversity, fewer fruiting trees, and collapsing ecosystems. In this way, the cassowary is not just a bird, it is a gardener. Anyway, today cassowaries face threats far more dangerous than fear. Deforestation, one of the most common ones, has factored their habitat into isolated patches, and roads cut through ancient migration paths, and cars strike cassowaries with brutal regularity. Dogs attack chicks, fences trap adults, and climate change alters fruiting seasons. In Australia, fewer than 4,500 southern cassowaries remain in the wild. And yet, many people living near cassowary habitats have never been taught how to coexist with them. Living alongside cassowaries requires humility. Yeah, that pretty much means never feed them. Give them space. Drive slowly in known habitats. And letting the fruit forest remain connected. That it pretty much means accepting that not everything in the world exists for our convenience. Cassowaries don't want our cities. They want fruit trees and silence. So, I'm already at the end of my script again. I guess I could talk to you guys a little bit about why I chose to choose cassowaries. That is because I never... I totally forgot about cassowaries existing. So, what happened was... I was doing the strands thing on the New York Times app that has like the games and all that with Wordle. And one of them was large birds. And I knew ostrich. I knew like the kiwi. I knew everything. I just didn't know what a cassowary was. So I was like, what the heck is a cassowary? What the heck is a rhea? It turns out they're big, large birds. I was like, oh my God, what does it look like? I search it up. It's this. And I'm like, oh, that one. Yeah, and then coincidentally, I was watching Bondi Yvette, and that cassowary came up right away. And it was kind of funny and ironic. Means the internet's watching you. If you guys look up, like, the indigenous art of the cassowary, it's kind of, like, really, really, like, beautiful. Like, all the art, I always find that indigenous art is, like, always fascinating to me. Like, the beauty in it is, like, amazing. Like the style, the color. I don't know why. It's just beauty. Anything else about the cassowary I can tell you guys? Sometimes mating doesn't go well. And males are smaller. Males are smaller than females. So I'm just trying to check something real quick. Yeah, males are smaller. I'm checking. Males are smaller than the females. Funny thing, I forgot to mention because I didn't think of mentioning it. Male cassowaries are the dedicated single fathers that take sole responsibility for incubating the eggs and raising the chicks for 9 to 18 months. Yeah, after the female lays the eggs, the male raises the striped brown chicks, teaching them to forage and protecting them from dangers, including from the female, the mother. Yeah. They're extremely protective of them, and they get aggressive when defending their chicks. When they due to their dedication to parenting, they're often referred to as super dads or MVP dads, or like father of the year. There's that. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I can tell you guys before I end the podcast, because I want it to be long. I don't want it to be short again.
Their descendants,
what I have here is that the cassock, the thing on their head, is made of keratin, like human nails, it may act as a shock absorber, display of dominance, or a sound receiver. Yeah, but it's made out of keratin, that's another one I can tell you guys. probably the thing that probably makes them deadly. Yeah, they can jump nearly 7 feet. 7 feet, man. 7 feet. That's like 2 meters if you're using American. Wait, am I using the right word? Metric system? I have no idea. anyway, and they use their five inches like dagger-like inner claws to defend themselves, making them incapable of inflicting fatal injuries pretty much most of the time. They can swim up to 50 kilometers per hour. They're surprisingly good swimmers, as I mentioned before. Their skin changes color when agitated, shifting from bright blue to red sometimes. I don't know if that one's true, but I'll see. Let me see. They're active till dusk and dawn. That's why they're extremely difficult to study, and they're known for the quick retreat to the thick forest. So there's not much known about them. To tell the difference between the three cassowaries, I should mention like the three different ones. There's the southern or doubled water cassowary, which is the largest and probably most well-known. They have a bit smaller cousin known as the northern or single-watered cassowary. And the smallest is the dwarf cassowary, which is the one without the wattles, like the thing on its neck. Yeah, I think that's pretty much... Well, okay, here is some... more information on the wealthy European collectors. They sought out cassowaries for display in private menageries in the 16th to 17th century. And even today, some indigenous people use cassowary feathers for ceremonial headdress. Young birds are often kept and sold for meat when they get large enough or used as dowry. There are now fewer southern cassowaries in Australia than there are giant pandas in China. Although none of the free cassowary types are considered globally threatened, all suffering from loss of habitat. Much of the Australian rainforest where southern cassowary is found has now been cleared, and the birds that remain face threats from dogs, feral pigs, hunters, traffic when crossing roads, starvation, and disease. Hunting and the clearing of forests or farmland affect cassowaries and living in New Guinea and the surrounding islands. And nonprofit organizations try to help them as well. So yeah, you can support a nonprofit organization if you guys want to do that. Oh my god, my jaw is hurting from talking too much. It's only been 20 minutes. Like, not even. Anyway. So, why did I choose the cassowary? I already told you. But in my script, I wrote, that is a reminder. They are a reminder that not all survival looks gentle. Not all beauty is soft. The fear often masks misunderstanding. And the cassowary didn't fade. It didn't start fading because it was weak. It faded because it refused to change for us. Somewhere in the rainforest tonight, cassowary walks a path older than memory. Its footsteps press seeds into the soil. Its shadow slips between trees. Its world grows smaller, but it keeps walking anyway. If we listen carefully, we might still hear it. This has been Faded Tales. I'm Zoya. Thank you for joining me on this adventure. Bye.